following recording was made the 24th of August, 1969, at Franklin, New Hampshire. The speaker is Baba Ram Das, formerly Dr. Richard Alpert.
Thank you. Sita Bhavane Sita was sent a poem written by a girl who we visited a few weeks ago. Some of us went over to a growth center here in New Hampshire. And a week later she sent this poem. We are one, and one is joy, and joy is pain, and pain is real, and real are you, and you are me, and that is all there is to be. We are time, and time is wise, and wise is beauty, and beauty's love, and love is you, and you are me, and that is all there is to be. A hand in hand, a rainy day, a grain of sand, a child at play, dogs and moons and milk and sun, worldly all is only one. We are God, and God is truth, and truth is light, and light is life, and life is you, and you are me, and that is all there is to be. try to wear that cross, but it was too much. Ramakrishna says you can't teach a hunter. You can't teach a hunter it is wrong to kill. Twitchell, who writes about Ekankar, says the higher one climbs on the spiritual ladder, the more he will grant others their own freedom and give less interference to another state of consciousness. Give less interference to another state of consciousness. We have had a rash recently, a rash of beings who have been around here, who have come to talk to me and who have said, I'm doing fine, but I really want you to help somebody or other. I want you to help my aging mother. I want you to help my brother. You should help my son. My mother is so unhappy, how can I help her? Now, at first blush, such reactions would seem very humane, conscious, and loving. But they are also very mechanical. Uspensky says, to be a Christian means to be responsible. Responsibility comes when a man ceases to be a machine and begins, in fact, to desire to be a Christian. In order to be a good Christian, one must be. Only a conscious egoist can help people. That is, that most of our efforts to help somebody are very, very high drama. Here is a mother who was saying, look how I suffer. And here is a kid saying, mother's suffering so bad. What can I tell her? Could I get her to meditate? If I could get my mother to sit down and meditate, she would become a better, happier, fuller being. At first, my implication, my tendency was to always climb in with both feet, kind of a do-gooding tradition of service. And I would meet with people who I was told wanted to somebody else wanted me to see, and I would see them. And it slowly dawned on me that I was merely being cast in a character role, and I was merely being asked to play another part in a drama that had nothing to do with change. Everybody was happy in their role. The mother was busy suffering. The kid was busy changing the mother from suffering. I was busy being the wise person people turned to change their mother's suffering. And everybody had their part to play. The one thing that was missing was that the mother hadn't asked to stop suffering. When my mother started to die, both of my brother and I, my middle brother, the very high and strange and emotional brother, and I were both very concerned to help reduce any suffering she might undergo. But a visit, after a while, convinced me that she was... She had written the whole script herself. She knew just how she was going to do this whole thing. My brother couldn't accept this, however, and he had to relieve her suffering whether she liked it or not. And he reasoned to her, if you understood what was happening to your body more, you would suffer less. So he said, I will endeavor to share an education with you about how the body works. So he brought over Grey's Anatomy. Starting with chapter one, he was going to read to her every afternoon. You can see why they locked my brother up. Whether she liked it or not, she didn't want to read Grey's Anatomy. She says, I've got a headache. He says, we'll only read one page, okay? Just one page. Then he figured when he finished Grey's Anatomy, he'd do the Bible. She'd be ready for that by then, and then it would be really all right. She threw him out. And after I began to be aware that there was really that as if somebody is seeking something, and then you have something that they can use, you're a vehicle through which something comes that they can use, and that means something happens to them, then they want to share it with everybody they love. But the thing is that a lot of the people they love don't want to share it. So I realized that if whatever Maharaji was doing through me was really taking, I was going to have more and more of these peripheral people coming who were being sent to me for something or other. So at first I tried, and then I saw the futility of that. And then I got into a place that was very callous, seemed to me, at first. I mean, I could sit and I could watch someone suffer. And I could feel compassion for them, and at the same time, I did not lift a finger to do anything. Because I realized the futility of trying to do something they hadn't asked me to do. And even when I was sitting with my mother the week before her death, I sat there and I knew, here I had been working with the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and I had been through many psychedelic experiences which involved confronting death, and I had confronted death with, you know, huge doses of LSD in the ocean in the middle of the night, and, you know, pounding surf and jungle and all the melodramas, and I was dying to talk with her about dying. But it was none of my business to do so. All I could do was sit there and wait. And if and when and when she finally did say something about dying, she opened the door and then I could come in. But she had to open the door. It turns out, you see, that there are, that the different members of a family have entirely different karmas. Two brothers can be such that one is a very, very conscious being and one is a completely unconscious, mechanical being. They both come out of the same parents and they almost could be twins. And all psychology's attempts to understand individual differences among siblings on the basis of differences in environment and experience have been flat, been trivial in terms of their findings. Because it's like in the grand design of things, somebody is born into a family which will allow them to have a certain set of experiences which is going to help their karmic, their karmic unfolding. And maybe they are very high and what they need is the abrasiveness of some completely dense being around them to rub against, which is going to open them up in that way. And therefore they might have a brother or a sister that is completely sleepwalking through life. Some of you have read Salinger's Teddy, the short story Teddy, in the 9 short stories of J.D. Salinger. And in that, Teddy's little sister is just a, you know, just a nice little girl. She's a good kid, but she's just not a very conscious kid. And Teddy, on the other hand, is like an old llama. He just happens to be 10 years old, but he's an old llama. I have sat with my father in the past 2 years now, literally dozens of times, during which he has been in the presence of explanations about what it is I'm trying to do, trying to be, doing, being, what's happening here. And what has rubbed off is a feeling we're all good people. But nothing has rubbed off that is easing his own anxiety about dying. Well, I shouldn't say that. There is a change in him in the sense that he lives much more in the present because of our presence than he ever did before. Because you can't live around dozens and dozens of people, all of whom are living in the present moment, and still hang on that hard to the past. Or the future. But the rubbing off has been gentle and it hasn't given him a center that he could use were we not around. That is, the minute we are gone, he would lose his center again. In the history, the story of the Bible is the continuing story of a higher message coming to man, man hearing the message, and then ending up, very shortly thereafter, rejecting the message. Because he was too worldly to be able to absorb it. Although at the moment, the miracle would blow his mind and he would fall on his face, as the Bible would say. Fall on his face in humility and see, the Old Testament is really the story of, it's a funny situation. It's a group of people who keep saying, we are the chosen people, and then consistently forget.